This is Kuza Conversations with Chris, and I'm excited to bring you another episode with President and CEO of Westwater Resources, Chris Jones. Westwater Resources is a premium quality producer and supplier of battery materials made right here in the United States. On Kuza Conversations with Chris, we discuss how Westwater Resources is supplying the energy of the future. Thank you, everyone, for joining another episode of Kuza Conversations with Chris. Actually, today, I'm going to be your host, taking over for Chris. And today, we have Jay Wago. Is that how you pronounce your last name? Is that right?
Right.
Okay, perfect. Good. Yeah, so we're going to be jumping in to all things graphite, all things Westwater, and hearing a bit about Jay's background. But if you wouldn't mind, just to get us started off, why don't you tell me about your career and some of the various roles that you have taken and how you ended up over at Westwater?
Sure. Thanks, Devin. I have probably a bit of a unique or maybe interesting background. I grew up in Japan, but I lived in the U.S. many years. So I'm going back and forth. I am in the U.S. now. I plan to stay here. But I think I am a business-to-business sales and marketing, business development professional, and spend over 20 years in lithium-ion battery industry. So since late 90s, and this industry essentially started in 1991 when Sony first commercialized lithium-ion battery. So if not the very beginning, but you know, from very early days of this industry, you know, I've been fortunate enough to get involved in this industry and work for several different companies, mainly specialty chemical companies that produced and distributed key components or materials for lithium ion batteries. And I also had about 3 years of experience working for a company. It was actually a Japanese company that represented various equipment manufacturers in Japan, and I took care of sales and marketing activities in North America and in some cases Europe. And like I said earlier, I worked in the U.S. for the most part, but I spent 6.5 years in Asia. So that gave me an interesting international experience. And most recently, with the previous company, I was also able to travel to Europe, you know, not to mention North America. So I've had a pretty good broad international experience as well.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah. It's funny. You know, I'm becoming a student not so long as yourself on the battery market. It's a very international market.
It is,
and somewhat, and I think we'll get to this a bit in, when we start talking graphite. Somewhat reliant on that part of the world where you said that you spent a decent amount of time specifically around in China, but. So tell me about why you believe maybe it's important to have kind of that international understanding, you know, especially when it comes to business, especially coming into the graphite and battery market like Westwater is.
Right. So I think it has to do with the value chain or supply chain. So my previous company, they still make lithium products. So using lithium as an example, lithium carbonate, which is one of the very important materials for cathode material that is used in the lithium-ion systems. So the two key regions for lithium carbonate is South America, Chile or Argentina, those two countries mainly. So they start with a brine, groundwater, that has some lithium concentrate. So it's further concentrated and converted into lithium carbonate that is shipped mainly to Asia. So it takes between 28 to 45 days before it arrives in Asia. And then it's converted into, used for lithium cathode production. And that is then sent to lithium ion battery producers, mainly in Asia. So it stays in Asia. But then when or after it becomes a battery system, let's say in a iPhones or iPod, then it's shipped all over the world, right? So if you think about, if you live in Chile, for example, you may be shipping one of the key components to Asia and eventually receiving the final product from Asia. But if you think about it, it's pretty international and, you know, in some cases, inefficient too. So I think one key aspect for Westwater Resources as being a U.S. domestic graphite supplier is being in the U.S. for U.S. market. And we have various battery chemistries that are produced in North America, not only lithium ion, which is rechargeable batteries for portable devices and also electric vehicles, but we have alkaline batteries, lithium primary, non-rechargeable batteries, lead acid. So there are various battery systems that are produced in North America. And we have three different graphite products that can be used to all of those applications. Mm. So it is pretty important and significant for us to have this domestic graphite production.
Yeah. So kind of iterating on that idea too, what made you decide to come to work with
us? That's a really good question. And so kind of two different things. I don't know if you follow Nobel Prize. I think it just happened earlier this month. But last year in 2019, three gentlemen received a Nobel Prize in chemistry for their contribution to lithium-ion battery.
Oh, wow.
And one of the gentlemen, Dr. Yoshino, his contribution was really creating or developing functional lithium-ion battery system that we know today. Wow. But this is not really highlighted, but probably the most significant discovery that he made was graphite, actually. Mm. Before graphite, there had been different types of carbon composite type of materials that were used for anode, but it wasn't very reliable, and it wasn't really a robust material. It was easy to be broken down by electrolyte, but graphite really stabilized the system. So that kind of stuck with me.
Yeah.
So that was last year, exactly a year ago.
Yeah.
And earlier this year, when I was approached by Westwater Resources, I learned, okay, this is a graphite. Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah.
So it was kind of, I don't know if it's a romantic thing, but it was kind of in a way. And I kind of always followed my instinct. Like I said earlier, I worked for several different companies that gave me really great experiences. And I always trust my, instincts. So this felt right for that reason. But a second reason, probably as important, is that I had always involved in businesses where, I run or grew a business that was designed and built by other people, which was fun, and it's nothing easy to do. And most people do that, I guess. But I really hadn't done much of building my own business or designing and building from scratch. But this opportunity, what we're doing in Westwater Resources, at least for the next few years, is really designing and building a robust business.
Wow.
And that's something that I always wanted to do. And it has been 3 months since I joined the company, but it has been a blast to say.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's really cool. Yeah, I've been getting to know the team a bit as a part of this project with you all. And I'm definitely impressed with both the expertise, but also how there's a lot of compliments throughout the team, complementary skills, expertise, things like that. And I was actually speaking with an investment analyst in New York, and they were saying how Jay could have ended up anywhere. He's got a pretty decorated past, some big companies like Dow, and could have ended up anywhere. It's telling that he ended up at the ground floor of this graphite business, especially given the marketplace. So I thought that was pretty cool. But
I don't know if it's a compliment or not. But
I think it's cool. Like you seem to have a bit of like a white sheet of paper that you can just kind of fill in what you'd like here. Is that how it feels?
I think that's probably right. And that's why I think, I'm really enjoying what I'm doing. Right. Because, in a good way, I'm running running the show. At least for sales and marketing anyway, but also influencing my peers in the right way. So yeah, I think that's really fits well for my personality type.
Mm, that's good. So what does the position entail? So you were saying how you're going to be kind of building the the business a bit,
right?
So
yeah, I kind of already touched on it maybe, but a few different things. So as I said earlier, we're in a phase of designing and building a robust business. So a commercial plant is supposed to, we're planning to commence that in late part of 2022. So in 2 years, essentially. So, and we are in a pilot phase. We are starting a pilot. So there are a lot of sort of fundamental, whether technical, operational, or sales and marketing, fundamental things that we need to do right. And, you know, there's some sort of business fallacies, like a sunk cost fallacy or, one of the fallacies that I always think about is that if you build it, they will come fast.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Field of dreams. So, yeah, we cannot fall into the fallacy. And I think if we build it right or really right, they will come and they'll stick around, So hopefully that's, what we can do. And so on a daily basis, there are a lot of internal, really collaborative discussions as to how we should, build this business essentially, whether it's a technical product, specification stuff, all kinds of stuff. So that's really right now one of the things that I'm focused on doing, the team is focused on doing.
Yeah,
that's one. And, right now I'm the only sales and marketing guy. So I'm also a sales guy. By the way, sales and marketing are two different things. But
Yes.
So I'm already talking with the prospects or potential customers, trying to really figure out how we can help their projects. And hopefully we can identify qualification projects that would lead to a business.
Okay.
So that's really mainly two things that we're doing.
Yeah. So what does the sales process look like, for the, selling graphite?
Yeah. So this applies to any other battery material business, so any probably chemistry B2B business. But for us, it has to start with the prospecting, identifying potential customers. And I have a benefit of working in the industry for over 20 years and I have a big network. So that helps. But we're doing a few other things to identify potential customers. Like I said, we're already talking to some of those customers. And really, it becomes technical. Initially, it's technical discussion. Very rarely do we talk with a procurement people right away and talk about pricing and volume. That's not the case. It really a technical discussion where we need to understand the agenda, technical agenda, which is also a business agenda, how we can help with what they need to do. So that's, mainly listening rather than talking.
Yeah.
really understanding how we can help. And so that's probably phase one. And then it'll lead to sampling, sending our samples, and the customers will be testing our materials. And we need to do it probably a few different times before we figure out what's the right spec. And that's probably 6 to 12 month process. And then phase three would be a little more technical discussion, particularly specifications, quality assurance type of discussion, as well as commercial discussions, in some cases, contract discussions, and then finally, commercial shipments. So that's the whole process, depending on the application, customers, and some other things, but is anywhere between, the shortest one would be like 6 months. Mm-hmm. That's probably a bit optimistic, but between 6 months to maybe 2 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
that's a pretty lengthy process.
Right.
So how would you, let's take everybody knows and loves Tesla, especially their ascent to fame this year when they had a lot of things stacked against them, right? But I know the EV market is much larger than Tesla, but this is near and dear to many people's hearts. So how would an approach to that would, from your perspective, and then how would you do that kind of at scale, once you have built out this team and you have a variety of different battery end consumer, I guess, I don't even know, that's not necessarily an end consumer, but it's, would Tesla be your customer or is there someone further upstream? Like, what does that look like?
Yeah, so we're looking at this point, everybody as a potential customer, including Tesla. Mm-hmm. And I think each company or customer has different, slightly different agenda, depending on what they're doing or making. In case of Tesla, just the EV in general, the few key agenda including cost. I think this is what Tesla is really keen on. At the battery day a few weeks ago, they were talking a lot about reducing the cost, dollar per kilowatt hour cost by, I think it was 56%. They were talking about several different approaches that, that they're taking. So dollar per kilowatt hour, it, there are a lot of things that contribute to that. Obviously, the material cost. So that's one angle. But it's not only about cost, but it's really, I think for us, and I think I kind of talked about it a little bit, but it really has to do with the security of supply. You know, if you think about, if you were Tesla, you know, you want to make a lot more electric vehicles, you need a lot more batteries. That means more materials. So they are concerned with security of supply. And graphite is definitely one of the key components. Although they're also high on newer anode technology like silicon. But graphite is still used with it. So, you know, speaking of silicon-based anode technology, what they're trying to do, what they meaning that, you know, pretty much everybody really trying to use silicon material and mix with graphite, but it's not going to completely replace graphite.
I see.
It's between 10 to 15% silicon, theoretically higher, but practically about that range. And the rest, so 85 to 90% is graphite. So again, really anybody, Tesla or Ford or anybody for that matter, would be want to secure a supply of key components. So yeah, there are a few key angles that we can take. And yeah, at this point, we need to talk with, you know, wide range of potential customers. Not that all of them will become our customers, but we need to understand what they're doing, what agenda they have, and how we can potentially help.
So how do you see positioning? So I know Westwater has three main products categories, right?
Right.
Okay. So how are those positioned, and how did you come about to landing on those products? You know, I know, you know, somebody who's thinking, you know, looking at P&G's brand, and you know, they have like their Huggies diapers, right? Or, or I guess their Pamper diapers. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit more accessible to the to someone like myself who's not as technically adept when it comes to understanding graphite. So, can you kind of break down what those three products, like what's kind of the purpose of them? You know,
right. What's the idea? So we have three different graphite products, including CSPG, that's spherical graphite. And that's really one of the most important product for us. It's used for lithium ion battery systems.
And that's the spherical graphite.
Spherical, whether it's, you know, for portable devices like iPhone or iPod.
Okay.
You know, power tools or EV. So that's, you know, if you think about what's the biggest growth engine? It is the spherical graphite. So that's key, obviously. And we use natural graphite, which has an intrinsic cost advantage. So it's essentially, it's cheaper than artificial graphite. That's other type of graphite. So that's one, you know, we're not going to be saying, hey, you know, we have the best price on anything, but we definitely have a cost advantage with all of our graphite products. So that's one key graphite product that we have. The other two graphite products are conductivity enhancers. So it's sort of like an additive in a way, using the various different battery chemistries. As the name suggests, it helps conductivity.
Okay.
Right, whether it's in alkaline or lead acid, lithium primary batteries. So, you know, lead acid, you know, if you're a car, you know, that comes with the most likely lead acid batteries. So our product could end up there. Alkaline batteries, if you go to any, like, you know, Home Depot or Lowe's, you know, you see a bunch of different you know, household names, right? Duracell, Energizer, Rayovac, you know, Panasonic. So those sort of consumer batteries. So, you know, it's a big market. And the lithium primary, that's also non-rechargeable, meaning primary battery, so it's non-rechargeable. So that's also a growth area. Sensors, tire pressure sensors, those small coin cells, that's typically lithium primary cells. And also in North America, there are medical applications, pacemakers and things like that.
Okay.
It's pretty strong in that segment. So yeah, you know,
wow.
Pretty broad applications, right?
Yeah.
And not only that, we could also look into some industrial applications that wouldn't be necessarily our first or top priority at the moment, but our graphite material could also work for some industrial applications. So really, we're trying to, obviously, you know, there are a lot of hype for electric vehicles. But we're really trying to build a robust and sustainably profitable business. And, you know, it could be fairly diverse in terms of applications, customer base, and hopefully it's relatively not so prone to, you know, economic cycles.
Right. I see.
Because of its, you know, full range of applications.
Yeah. Kind of an inherent diversity across your customer base that could weather some storms. Okay. So how, as the sales and marketing guy, would you prioritize? So you've got like the healthcare industry, industrial, automotive, you know, household batteries. How do you prioritize the laundry list of prospects and opportunities out there?
Yeah. So we developed a market entry strategy in August. And so we have a good baseline. So as a North American graphite supplier, and knowing that 90% of graphite is, well, almost 90% of graphite is produced in China, we wouldn't necessarily want to compete directly with those Asian suppliers for Asian customers. It just, we wouldn't necessarily have any edge over that. So we are at the moment focused on North American customers, and some European customers as well. So that's sort of, you know, intuitively, that's the natural priority for us. But I am in the process of building a sales and marketing team, so I cannot be doing everything myself.
Right.
So yeah, building team. I'll be hiring a sales guy that is hopefully better than me. Well, they should be better than me. It's not that difficult to find this. So yeah, really trying to build a strong team. So that we can really have a good focus on target market. But we're also working with a few other sort of external consultant or, they could work as a independent business development representatives. So, you know, we're trying to be creative and making sure that, having cost management in mind.
Because the goal is profitability there.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. So kind of correlating back to also your career and what you've done in the past, what are, other than, obviously there's inherent challenges in any business in growing a team and building a team with the right people, but what sort of areas have you seen already overcome by your previous companies that Westwater may have ahead, you know, a challenge or something, some sort of issue that they may need to overcome, especially as it pertains to, you know, your tutelage, sales and marketing. And what would you say are some of the ways to, that you're gearing up to overcome some of those future challenges?
So I said, you know, previously my career focused on running a business that was designed and built by other people.
Yeah.
And because of that, oftentimes there are issues, mostly product-related issues that we had to take care of. So it's that sort of reactive firefighting type of things. That's not really, you know, value-added, to be honest. But I remember some of my previous career spent a lot of time on rectifying those issues. Spent like 80 to 90% of my time in some cases. And so that I personally experienced that as a salesperson, even as a sales director. So that's not the place we want to be in. Again, it's not value-added work, right? You're not producing anything if you're just trying to rectify issues.
Right.
So it's mainly, as I said, a product-related, whether it's a product specifications or quality assurance and whatnot. So right now, and as I think, as I said, I mentioned earlier, we really want to make sure that, you know, we will be making the right product, meaning that has the right spec. We need to quality assure that at the same time. So that's really, if we did it right, I wouldn't have to worry about those reactive firefighting things that we'll be doing later on. So that's really what I'm really keen on at the moment. And I think the team really understands and trusts what I'm saying.
Yeah. That's good.
It's the experience matters, right?
So, yes, absolutely.
Yeah. You know, good or bad experience, in some cases, bad experience, well, I shouldn't say bad experience, but challenging experiences actually mean more.
And
those are more important.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Even failure, you know, exactly. Previous failures are great.
Absolutely. I mean, sometimes like a monumental failure is the best thing you could have. It's sort of blessing in disguise type of thing. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to really use my experience as much as possible, and hopefully I'm right.
That's good. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. As an outsider perspective, I think you are, but... So what should some of these potential customers expect working with a U.S.-based graphite producer?
Yeah. So I think I mentioned a few things already, but security of supply, I think that would be one of the
security of supply.
Yeah, most important reasons, particularly for U.S. domestic customers.
Yeah.
Securing domestic graphite supply, obviously, that's one. But that should come with also, as I mentioned, consistent quality, high quality and consistent, you know. So that's... really, I want us to build a business that can produce that. So that's one big item. The other one is probably, you know, as a sales and marketing guy, I want to say that customer experience. I want to create a good customer experience. And I also say this from my past experience, because I work for, without naming the specific customer, companies, really, you know, big companies, for good reasons, by the way, needs to be bureaucratic. Right? A lot of internal processes that could take a long time, but it's a very thorough process, right? So that's an intention behind. But that doesn't necessarily mean good customer experience. It's responsiveness could be slow, you know. So it definitely want our future customers to feel like, wow, you know, West Water Resources is very responsive. And that's not to say we're going to do everything that customers ask for. That's different, right? So we need to balance what we can do. It needs to be mutually beneficial. But I want our customers to feel, all right, we're taken care of, right? So it's kind of same thing. If you go to a car shopping and you may find a car that you really want to buy, but if you don't like the sales guy or person, then you may go to a different place. So it's kind of same psychology.
Yeah. It's almost the ability to be agile. You know, at your size, you can be very agile with how you serve your customer.
Right.
Yeah, that's good. So that one of the questions that we had talked about was, how do you describe your product? How would you describe your product to your child, niece, or nephew? I know you talked a little bit about your products, but I'm curious to hear how you would describe
it. I remain serious. So I don't have my own kid, but I have one niece and four nephews. They're all in Japan. They don't get to see me very often. And every time I see them, they're like 2 inches taller. So, you know, I'm already sort of mysterious uncle that they have.
Is this random uncle selling graphite in the U.S.?
But my agenda is that I need to remain cool, right?
That's good.
You know, and it's going to be not far from the truth. So I already mentioned that 2019 Nobel Prize. So I will talk, you know, about graphite, how important graphite is in that regard. And they use iPhones or iPods and they play a lot of games, right? So I'll tell them, you know, do you know that, you know, graphite is in battery system, you know, you use that every day. So I want to say that, you know, what I do is very cool.
And, yeah, that's awesome. You can't play your games without the products that you sell. That's good. Cool. The other fun question is, if you had 20K of wealth to place into the green energy supply chain, would you put it into Westwater? And just one reason why.
Okay. Well, yeah, so for such investment opportunities, I think there are a lot of good companies in the green energy space. And I think we're one of them. I believe that. And the reason, right? So one success, I think it kind of has to do with what I said earlier, if you build a they will come policy. So one of the key success factors for business, I believe, or even individually, is being unique, being different from other people. So I think we are unique in many ways, you know, being U.S. domestic graphite suppliers in the U.S. market, and, you know, going after biggest, you know, customer or supply, you know, company in the industry necessarily. We may not, but, you know, in the next few years, we'll be, you know, hopefully generating a real, you know, good revenue, good profit, robust. Like I said earlier, you know, reasonably diversified. So that's really what we're trying to do. But I think it takes a unique company to do it.
Mm.
I think we are uniquely positioned. So I think I used it about three times already, but that's
the key. Well, I think it's really interesting. I was reading a book called Playing to Win, and it's about business strategy. And one of the concepts they talk about is where to play and how to win. You know, and keeping it super simple when it comes to strategy. And you both, I've talked to you and Chris about this, but have a very clear answer to that. You know, where to play, primarily North America, Europe, where you have a competitive advantage, and then how to win is the unique US-based secure supply. You know, right. I mean, it's just very clear and simple. It's nice.
Yeah, thank you. But, you know, the strategy is obviously very important, but what's more important is implementation. That's actually way more difficult. Strategy is, for the most part, is science. Implementation involves art and science. So that's why it's more difficult. You often deal with the gray areas, you know, things that, sometimes don't have any logic. But somehow you need to figure out, you know. So that's more difficult. And so building a right team with good people, that's going to be very important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then you touched on a great point. And this is one of the reasons why Chris wanted to have his team interviewed for this first series that we're doing on this podcast is for that art. You know, so, you know, hopping onto your LinkedIn and seeing your history, you know, you have experience with the paintbrush when it comes to the art.
Yeah, I appreciate you saying that because I think science may be more objective thing. You know, you read a book, everybody has the same fact or, you know, whatever the case may be. But the art is a little more subjective thing, you know, based on your experience, based on your own thinking process. I don't think I can write a book about my life or anything, but yes, the art and science that's very important, particularly for our type of business in our phase, particularly. So.
And the, like you had already mentioned, but even the network that you have fostered over multiple decades in the industry here helps define how to paint. You know,
right. I mean, in some cases, I consult with other people that are more experienced, and it definitely helps. And so I'm not doing this all by myself. It really comes down to the team, right? And I mentioned we have a very collaborative work environment. So we often talk about stuff as a team.
Mm.
But, you know, everybody respects each other. Everybody speaks up, you know, and there's no power struggle or anything. It's just a healthy discussion and trying to do the right thing. So
that's awesome. Yeah. That's great. Well, I love that. That's a good place to end things. So thank you so much for your time and for the insight here into the Kuza, the crown jewel of Westwater, as Chris calls it, the Kuza Graphite Project, and your experiences. Thank you, Jay.
Thank you. I hope I can live up to the expectations.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. Cool.
Thank you again for joining another episode of Kuza Conversations with Chris. If you are interested in investing in this wonderful company and hearing more about what Westwater Resources is doing in the green energy market, subscribe to our newsletter using the link in the show notes. If you click on the details button in Apple Podcasts, the See More button on Spotify, or simply scroll down on this particular episode on Google Podcasts, you will find the link to get subscribed to our jam-packed monthly newsletter. We will cover the latest news on Westwater, as well as keep you up to date on the details of their cornerstone project, the Kuza Mining Project for Graphite. Have a great day, and we will talk to you again soon on Kuza Conversations with Chris.